Welcome to the Should've Bet More podcast presented by VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. Coming up on the show, the Bear, Chris Felica from Fox Sports will join us. We will go over the weekend that was, a little recap of the hockey. I know he's got some thoughts on that. We'll touch on that briefly, but do a lot of college hoops, a lot of baseball as we slowly, as I keep saying, slowly but surely keep churning and keep turning that calendar closer and closer to March. Next week, a week from right now, I guess it will be, March 2nd, Monday, March 2nd, depending on when you're listening to this. So pretty good sports weekend. I think the hockey game and the fact that you had the two marquee college basketball games kept the weekend moving, which is usually a dead time of the year, but usually you don't get two Final Four quality matchups. And they were both pretty good games. Neither of them was great. And then the hockey game Sunday morning to get you along. And look, I don't talk a lot of hockey. I don't know much about hockey, but I do have a couple of thoughts just from a big picture standpoint. And it doesn't take a hockey expert. You don't have to be Barry Melrose to realize Canada missed every opportunity. They missed opportunities left and right. They really controlled the game. And it's just the nature, the randomness of hockey, which is about as random as any sport. I know Hellebuck played an incredible game, just some ridiculous saves. But, man, Canada seemed like the better team, but the USA wins. And between the Blue Jays and what happened in Game 7 against the Dodgers and this gold medal game, man, those are, I don't know which one was worse. I guess it depends, you know, which sport is closer to your heart, which one you care about more. But just a couple of quick thoughts. The three-on-three nature, and look, you don't have to, again, you don't have to be a hockey expert to have this opinion. I say this for all the sports, college football, when you go to overtime and you start the ball at, the 25-yard line, extra innings with the ghost runner. When you go to overtime in any sport, the further you deviate away from the actual nature of the sport, I think the worse it is. It's just three-on-three is not hockey. Why can't you just play, a full period, then maybe go to four-on-four? The three-on-three just felt contrived, for a game where goals are tough to come by, everyone is trying to get in the net. Those goals are so precious. Then to cheapen it where, all right, somebody's going to score and score pretty quickly because it's 3-on-3. I did not like that. And the other thing, you can't vote on the MVP after the first period. You got to wait till the game ends. McDavid wins it. I don't think he would have won. Maybe he would have. But, I mean, how is that the process where we're going to vote on the MVP after the first period? You know what? Why not just vote? Why not just vote before the tournament? You're going to vote after the first period of the gold medal game? I mean, that is totally ridiculous. I love an explanation as to why that was the case. But the USA wins. Heartbreaking loss for Canada. And that was a fun game. Before we get to Bear, college basketball, the games were good. Like I said, Arizona, Houston, I'm down on Houston, man. 9 minutes without a field goal. Arizona's without their best player. They're very comfortable, Houston is, when they can play football and they can be rough and tumble and knock you around. When they have to actually put the ball through the hoop, they can struggle. They had a huge drought against Iowa State Monday night. They struggled last year, blew a big lead against Florida. I know they got to a title game, so you can't kill them. I just feel like they're more rugged than they are skilled. They're more of a football team than a basketball. They're a really good basketball team. They, they rebound, they defend. They've been one of the premier teams in the country, the last handful of years. There's something missing with them where I definitely downgrade them after watching them this weekend. It's one game, but at home, that kind of spot, I didn't like the way they played where you go that long without being able to get a bucket. In the tournament, you need to be able to win multiple ways. You need to win an offensive game, a slow game, a fast game, a defensive game. I just feel like they have a gear that's not there. Impressive win for Houston. Impressive win for Arizona. Really impressive on the road. I know nobody trusts Arizona. Nobody trusts Lloyd until they're going to do it. I get that, but that's happened a million times before with guys that broke through. Jay Wright, Hurley to a lesser extent, a much lesser extent, but Calipari, and I know he only won the one. Calhoun back in the year. I remember Calhoun beating Gonzaga go to the Final Four. And that was the original Gonzaga Cinderella team, and they played in the Elite Eight, and there was a ton of pressure on Calhoun because they'd never been there, which is crazy to think now that UConn had never been to a Final Four, but there was a ton of pressure on them, and that was a fairly close game. And then eventually UConn wins that and wins the championship, an epic title game against Duke. But I get what people mean about Lloyd. I get the concerns, but they check a lot of boxes. They don't shoot a ton of threes, but they are, they're a really good team. And Duke, Michigan, I mentioned it on Friday. Now, I'm not going to take too much credit because I thought Michigan would win the game. Now might be the time to buy on Duke just because if they win, that price is going to plummet, and it did under 5-1. And if they lost, probably no harm, no foul. And it was an ugly game. It was a fast start offensively. It looked like it was going to be both teams in the 80s or 90s, and it really grinded to a halt, which I do think favored Duke. And Duke is tremendous defensively. They had the best player on the floor in Boozer. Michigan before the half, tie game, they can hold for the last shot, they miss, And then with 0.8 seconds left, they foul the kid on Duke on a rebound. He pushes him. He already had the ball. One of the stupidest fouls you're ever going to see. It gives Duke 2 free points. And then at the other game, and I look, there's plays throughout the game, and you just pinpoint one or two, maybe not fair, but in a close game, and Michigan cut it to 1, could never quite get over the hump. I think Duke pretty much led throughout the second half. They missed a layup, a wide-open layup. I think it was 3 at the time that would have cut it to 1. I was doing the VEASAN show, the primetime show. I meant to go back and watch it. A lot of people said the goaltend that was called on Michigan that gave Duke 2 points was not legitimate, was a bad call. And, you know, stop me if you heard this before. People think Duke got the favorable whistle, which, look, again, doing the show, not, you know, it's hard to do the show and just be completely focused on it, but I do think people have an eye on Duke. If it's a 50-50 call and it goes Duke's way, it's almost like, you know, the Patriots used to be or the Chiefs. People are looking for it. When you're looking for it, you can find it. That being said, Michigan was, look, they're not unbeatable. They're clearly not unbeatable. If they played again, I think I'd still pick Michigan, but it's funny to say a Duke team is ever flying under the radar because they're Duke. I guess maybe because it's not Coach K. It's, you know, Dick Vitale's not involved anymore. You know, they don't have Flag this year. I'm not sure what the reason is. Shire's another guy that has to answer some questions in big games, and, you know, fair or unfair. Lost to NC State a couple years ago. That was a big upset. The complete meltdown against Houston last year. A few years ago, lost to Tennessee in a game they were favored in the tournament in the second round. So we'll see here if Duke, you know, is holding up the trophy at the end. But I would say between Duke, Arizona, and Michigan, that would be a good prop bet. I'm curious what the Bear thinks. Duke, Arizona, Michigan versus the field. I would take the 3 teams. I would take the Duke, Arizona, Michigan. I know with the field you get Florida, you get UConn, you get Iowa State, you get Illinois if that does something for you. You get a whole bunch of teams, and if something crazy happens, you get a crazy final, you're good. But I do feel like it'll probably be one of the 3, Duke, Arizona, Michigan. If you take the field, you get Houston. I know that, but feels like it's Duke, Arizona, or Michigan, and you could probably, and I'm not going to dismiss Arizona. I'll lump them there. Those, to me, are the 3 best. Then there's a slight drop-off to, I would say, Florida's probably the 4th best team. Maybe this is recency bias. And then you got your Houston, Iowa State, you know, UConn, Illinois, probably missing some teams, but you get the idea. And the more I watch college hoops, man, I just do not think we are going to see a lot of upsets. The top teams are the top teams. It's almost like it was, you know, the 90s, late 2000s, where these kids, these upsets didn't happen as much because the good teams would keep their players 3 or 4 years. That's not the case now, but the good players are going to take the players from the mid-majors and the lesser teams. It has the same effect. So I don't think if you like the tournament because of upsets and close games, not only do I think it could be chalky, I think we could get a lot of blowouts early. But that would set up for great games, you know, going forward, Sweet 16 and beyond, even the second round. But I do think it'll be relatively chalky. Interesting game Monday night before we get to Bear. Kansas and Houston. Kansas was awful on Saturday. You figure at home they bounce back, but this is also a Houston team that's lost 2 in a row, so you can't really, you know, pinpoint that bounce back angle too much, because Houston's also, you know, got a really good coach. They've lost 2 in a row. They're going to be out for blood too. Maybe you play the under just because both teams you figure would be focused, motivated, although you are at that time of the year where maybe these teams say, you know what, it's a long season. We got our eye on March. Let's just get there. And there's that element to it, which you have to consider. So I would look towards the under in that game. I would think Kansas wins. I would lean towards taking them plus the points, but that is a very strange situation with Peterson. I would imagine once he goes pro, like this summer or after, you know, a year from now, I would imagine more comes out about what was going on. And I don't know, was he tough to deal with? Was it Phil Self has said the right things, but that's got to be a frustrating situation. 138.5, by the way, is the total. Kansas, 2.5-point home dog. So Houston laying 2.5 on the road. I do like under 138.5. Let's see what Bear likes. We'll talk some hockey, some college hoops, some baseball. We'll do a little bit of everything. That is next. This Should Have Bet More podcast. All right, we are back. Should Have Bet More podcast. You can catch him Fox Sports, the Bear Bets podcast. It is the great Chris Felica, Bear. 1 week from now, we turn the calendar to March. A welcome thought here on the East Coast as we're about to get, I don't know, 2 or 3 feet of snow again. How are you?
I'm good. Yeah, waiting on the impending 2 feet of snow or whatever the hell it's going to be. It was an interesting Saturday in hoops, because now you see the Michigan loses, Houston loses, Illinois loses. Oh, now these two, UConn didn't look good during the week. None of these teams can win the national championship or get to the Final Four because they happen to lose a random mid-season game. That clearly dictates the opinion going forward. It's so funny to see the reactions from people because Duke plays a great defensive game and Arizona goes and beats Houston and Illinois loses on a end-to-end buzzer beater. So why all day, but people who are overreacting to one loss, I think they need to just pump the brakes a little bit.
I'll get back to college hoops in a second. We just watched the hockey. U.S. wins the gold. I don't know. I didn't love the 3-on-3. I'm happy the U.S. won, but the 3-on-3 just kind of felt like a contrived ending. The fact that they voted for MVP after the first period seemed a little ridiculous. What were your takeaways on that game and just takeaways in general?
It was one, for those people who I'm sure there were a lot of them that don't regularly watch playoff hockey, that game reminded me of a high-stakes Game 7 playoff Stanley Cup type game where a lot of times you'll see a team really dominate the game. That ice over the final two periods was tilted with Canada dominating play, and you will get a great historic, what people we call it, we got goalied in the playoffs, and that's ultimately what happened. Connor Hellebuyck completely flipped the narrative on him not being a big game or a big playoff type performer, and he was amazing. That game easily could have been 4-1 or 5-1, given some of the saves that he made. But yeah, credit the USA for digging in there and Hellebuyck keeping him in it and making a play when they needed to. But you mentioned the MVP thing. That look, we all kind of deserve what we get for betting on these MVP and playoff games awards and not really knowing when the voting is taking place. But I didn't know the voting ended after the first period. I bet Connor Hellebuyck at +135 at FanDuel in the second period when it was 1-0, thinking, okay, if they win 1-0, he's going to be the MVP. And even if they win 2-1 or whatever, there's still a really good chance he's going to be the MVP. Little did I know that it did nothing mattered. The voting had taken place. So I'm not going to sit here and cry and say I'm demanding a refund or whatever. I made a bet. I didn't know the rule. I should have done a little bit more research as to when they did the voting. But kind of shitty that they did keep that market up, even though the voting had closed. It leads me to believe that they didn't even know the voting was closed. The other kind of irony, or if you want to talk about a bad beat, I know there are a lot of people out there that probably had the U.S. gold medal count over 12.5.
Oh,
they landed on 12, and you had
that's less than 12.5, I believe.
That is less than 12 is less than 12.5, and it's kind of shitty because you had the ice dancing judging malpractice cost the U.S. a gold medal early on. And then Ilya Malinin, who is one of the biggest favorites, I think he was like -10,000 or so to win the men's skating. He lost, fell, and he owned up to it. Like, pressure got to me. So you had like the biggest, you had a judging controversy, and the biggest favorite in the games go down, which ultimately cost the U.S. gold over 12.5 bettors. They're a bet. Great. Again, right bet, wrong result.
Tough one. Yeah, that's a tough one. When the NHL does resume, is there any angle? I'm sure our buddy Fez will have some angles of like,
oh yeah,
all right, you fade these guys because they're coming back from the Olympics. They're going to be tired. They're going to be whatever, jet lag. Is there a way to play? I know there are so many different teams. There's no way to, I don't know, is there a way to play? And if you had an NHL, let's just say you had no NHL futures at all, is there any team you'd jump in on right now?
What I also just read was that because of the snowstorms in the Northeast, they were planning on flying back to New York, but now they're going to be flying to Miami. So you're going to get teams coming back here, flying to Miami, which is probably as far away as you could possibly play or travel to for a lot of these. Like Connor Hellebuyck, I was going to have to fly from Miami to Winnipeg, and a lot of the there were, I think there were five Golden Knights on the team. So you're going Miami to Vegas. I mean, so the travel is impacted a little bit. I don't know. I would think a guy like Hellebuyck, who played so great, we'll see if the Jets give him maybe a night off in net just to kind of give him a little bit of a break, or if they play him. If you're looking for a team, now, I mean, the Avs are the biggest. They're the favorite, and they're seen as the best team. You got to wonder if their goaltending can can keep it up. I saw a message actually pop up while I'm recording this from a buddy of mine. McDavid won MVP. What a joke. And I can't wait to explain to my buddy what exactly happened. Carolina has been a really good team, but they're typically have been a regular season type team. Dallas, it feels very, very wide open this year. I did bet Vegas before the season. You can still get them at a pretty good price. You got to look at a lot of these matchups in the division just to see who you're going to play. They could wind up going against some teams. And the way the playoffs are set in the NHL, I really don't like it, where you get the 2-3 in the division and you play the division. It really creates kind of a repetitive matchups. But let me take a really quick glance here at the standings. I don't, like I said, I bet Vegas before the season.
Your Islanders have a run or no?
I don't think they have a run. They're going to be a pain in the ass if they do get in. One team that I would consider betting on are the Minnesota Wild. They made a bunch of moves this season, have been a completely different team since they made some moves during the year. They are, again, but they are in that division where you're going to probably wind up playing Dallas in the first round. And they have been a victim of being in this difficult division and not really being able to get out of it. But the Wild probably, you're probably, because they're going to have to play Dallas in the first round, you might get a better price on them than you normally would. So if I had to take a flyer on one of these teams, I think it would be the Wild.
College hoops, you talked about it. Exciting day on Saturday. My takeaway, I know they came close last year. Houston going 9 minutes without a field goal at home. They're very comfortable and they can play football and they can beat you up. But when they have to actually play basketball and make shots, I just feel like that's a weakness for them. I'll phrase it to you this way, this question, just from a big picture standpoint. I'll give you Duke, Arizona, and Michigan. Those three teams, or I'll give you the field. Who wins the championship?
I'll take Duke, Arizona, and Michigan.
Me too.
I don't think the list of teams that can win the national title goes a lot further than that. I have a UConn ticket for preseason.
What if I made it Duke and Michigan?
I'll still take that versus the field. Love that. I would love that price more than I would adding in Arizona, because I still am spooked by Arizona and Tommy Lloyd with some of the postseason, the tournament failures that they've had. Would not surprise me at all if we see Duke and Michigan meet up again in the Final Four or the national title. You're right. I loved Houston, but it seems like they can go time and time again with a lengthy scoring drought. Even as good as Fleming's is, UConn, I don't think, can win it this year. It just feels like something is missing with them. Iowa State, I know, not because they lost to BYU Saturday night. They're another team that always, they seem to struggle at times from the perimeter. Purdue defensively is not the same team that they've been. Gonzaga with Huff out is a problem. Illinois, while I love what they can do on offense, you give up 90-something points to UCLA. That defensively they got, you know what? I would do this. I would take Michigan and Houston versus the field and flatbed Florida. How about that? I think Florida.
I think
Florida has a chance to repeat. They have gotten really, really good defensively again. They're going to be experienced now in the postseason. A tournament, a guy that's won the title. They're going to be a problem.
Last year, very few upsets. It was all chalk, including 4-1s in the Final Four. Even the year before, NC State had that run, but that's an ACC team. We had very few upsets in the first round that year. Is that going to be what this tournament is going forward with the NIL and the portal, sort of shifting all of the talent to the top? Do you think we get another chalk-heavy tournament here?
I do. I do. I was seeing the initial bracket reveal or the seed line reveal yesterday. Your four seeds are kind of Virginia and Nebraska and Michigan State. Are those teams really going to be able to beat Michigan, Duke, Arizona. And
it's bubble, too. The bubble teams you look at and just kind of, Santa Clara and some
USC,
of these teams.
USC, who loses a shitty Oregon team at home. Seton Hall. Like, this is the other I think we were talking about this either the last time we spoke, or it might have been with Gil or in the group chat. Like, if you're a casual college basketball fan, and this is not the stuff that they really go into, but you're going to just give an opportunity, because they played a difficult or a tougher schedule than Miami of Ohio. Like, if Miami of Ohio were to lose and not win the MAC conference tournament, like, as a fan sitting there at home on Tuesday or Wednesday night in Dayton, you wouldn't rather watch Miami of Ohio take on NC State as opposed to, let's put USC in the field or Seton Hall in the field. Like, that stuff's not going to come into play in the selection process. It's the fact that left side of the sheet that has all the quad one and quad two games that you would have on it would come into. But I think there'll be a total outrage, and there probably should be, if Miami of Ohio doesn't get in and you're sitting there, it's 17-13. Here are the Trojans from USC.
Do you have a team in mind when the bracket comes out, even though you and I agree it's going to be chalky? Do you have a team that you think you'll have going farther than everyone else? Or if you had to pick a team that you think can make a run that's unexpected? I've thrown out Arkansas just because I know it's Calipari, but they've got a lot of talent. It's not a huge sleeper, but you know, look at their price to maybe go to a Final Four. I don't know. I'll throw it to you. Anyone you
have
in mind? I do.
Tennessee.
Okay.
I think they are kind of – look, they pissed away a couple of games this year, certainly against Kentucky and some other games. But their good can be really good with Amant and Gillespie. Like they got guys that
control the glass.
In big moments, they control the glass. And – they've kind of always been a little bit snake bitten in the tournament. A lot of pressure running into Purdue that one year when they had their best teams. You get some injuries. You lose. They lost to Michigan one year on a buzzer beater. Like they're a good team, and you're probably looking at them being a 5 seed maybe.
Yeah,
maybe a 6 seed. I'd rather be a 6 than a 5. But I think the Vols could offer a bit of value this year. Maybe making a. Like especially if when I love seeing the odds to make the Sweet 16 come out, basically the 2-game money line parlay. I think a lot of times you can get a little bit of bang for your buck there. If you're you're a 6 seed and you beat an 11, which is probably going to be a toss up type game, and then a 3 seed, where we're just going down the list of 3s and 4s this year that really aren't going to be very good. So yeah, Tennessee would be a team that I'd be looking at.
Baseball, among the 30 teams, who is the team you have the strongest opinion on?
I think you and I are in agreement on one here. I think the Orioles are going to be really good this year. I know Bradish might be on a little bit of an innings limit, but adding Alonso to that lineup in that ballpark, I think they're going to be really good. I would go over the win total on them. I would take a shot on them to win the division, win the AL. I got like plus 1050, I think, on them to win the American League. So, yeah, I am really high on Baltimore this year.
Helsley, 30-1 most saves. I know he was terrible for the Mets, but he's led the league in saves before. His 3 years before that were really good. Is that something where it's sort of a derivative there of the Orioles, where you take a shot at Helsley at 30-1?
Yeah, it certainly could be, for sure. You would expect them to be maybe in a bunch of close-ish type games, or maybe he even gets a couple of vulture wins where if they bring him in tie games or in the bottom of the eighth or or the ninth inning, they go to extra innings and win. Yeah, he could put up a big number. Are you as high? I'm the Braves, with all the problems that they have now with their rotation. Yeah. Schwalbach being out now and some other injuries they have. Look, I know that lineup is really good, but Braves under might be something to look at. Because, I mean, as much crying as there's been about the Mets and what they didn't do, I mean, you add Bichette and you add Peralta, like that. They're gonna be pretty, and the Phillies, who knows what's gonna happen with their rotation. The Mets still might be worth the play here, no?
I'm with you. I thought they should have been the shortest shot. They were a little behind Philly when I was doing the pod maybe, I don't know, a few weeks ago. They were like plus 180 or 190, and now they are the short shot at plus 160. But I'm with you. No Wheeler. Well, not I shouldn't say no Wheeler, but we don't know, and that's a serious injury. All the people who study that stuff say, man, that's just – it's not Tommy John. Tommy John, you get it, and there's a timeline. You know you're going to bounce back. When you're going to bounce back, your velocity returns with the thoracic outlet syndrome. And even if he's 70, 80% of what he was, that's good, but that's a hit to their team without Suarez too. Maybe Painter, the prospect we've been hearing about for a while, steps up. But I'm with you. The Mets should be the short shot in that division. I could see Luis Robert. I mean, he's got a lot of talent. He's been on that bad White Sox team. He's battled injuries. You get him in a winning environment. He's around Soto. He's around Lindor. I mean, if he bounces back if he has like a breakout year, that wouldn't shock me either.
What about the Brewers too? Again, I think people last year, none of us really were giving the Brewers a lot of credit in that division, and because just because we thought the Dodgers would be the team. They're still going to be really good this year. I mean, Woodruff comes back a full year out of Miz. Logan Henderson's got great stuff. Priester, like, again, we don't like to, like, invest a lot of money in these markets because you've got massive favorites in Judge and Otani in, like, the MVP market. But Jackson Chirio, 50-1 to be MVP, I took a little bit of a dab at another guy, a fantastic hitter. And if they go out in that division where the Cardinals clearly are not any good, the Cubs, who knows, the Pirates, can they hit? We don't know if the Pirates offense will still be that good, even though they added a bunch of guys. I don't know. Brewers, I still think, are going to be pretty – if they stole Vaughn from the White Sox. I mean, I think they're going to be all right.
Where are you with the A's? I know you took a shot on Kurtz, I think – 5-1 to hit 50 homers.
6-1, 50 home runs.
6-1, 50 homers. I saw he's, if you really want to get ambitious, 60 homers is 15-1. I mean, he's got to stay healthy, but man, he's got the power. And in that ballpark, who knows? I wouldn't be surprised if a few years from now, within a few years, he's the best hitter in the sport with his power to all fields. He is, to me, a Hall of Fame level bat. And I don't say that lightly. But do the A's as a team, and you can talk about that bat or what else, but do you, the A's as a team have enough pitching to compete for a wild card and go over 75.5? Or are they just more of a fun team that's still kind of a year or so away?
I think they're more of a fun team that's a year or so away. Like I just don't know if the pitching's there. Obviously, maybe that's mitigated a little bit because of playing in that ballpark where the ball carries in Sacramento, playing a couple of games in Vegas. But I think they're more of a fun team right now that's a year away, but they got pieces now. I mean, Rooker is a legitimate hitter. McNeil is fine. Kurtz, we mentioned. Jacob Wilson comes back. Langlers, I mean, they're getting it together, and it's just going to be a question if they can keep these guys once they're able to go to free agency. But, yeah, Kurtz is – we talk about the awards, and that was a market last year where all year long we were looking for someone to bet in the AL. We were holding Cam Smith tickets in the AL and just looking for long prices because we didn't necessarily like the short shots, and for some reason we never got those great numbers on Kurtz that came up manifesting.
The Yanks at 90.5 seems about properly priced. I know we had the middle last year with 93.5 and 88.5, something like that, and it went over on the last day. Just ridiculous. On one hand, you can't get excited about them. It's the same team they seem to run back outside of the Soto year for years now. On the other hand, I feel like they're being slept on a little bit. You get Cole back, you get Cam Schlittler, you have good pitching. I just feel like the fact they didn't add anyone, and they never add anyone anymore, and the fact that Toronto buried them in the playoffs is in some ways leaving people, I don't know, a little off the scent here, that it's still a pretty good team. When you have Judge and Chisholm and their pitching and some of the other guys in the lineup, they're still, to me, a 90-something win team. It's just, can you count on Judge for 150, 155 games? If he misses more than 10 or 15 games, what does that team look like? So I would slightly lean towards the over, probably not enough to bet it. Do you have any thoughts here on the Yanks?
Yeah, I thought 91 was probably – I didn't know what the number was when you asked me the other day. And I was like, yeah, I feel like 91 wins. And you said, oh, it was 91.5, and now it's gone down a little bit. Yeah, it feels like it would be over or pass for me. Again, the pitching, when are you getting Cole back? When are you getting Rodon back? Was what we saw from Camilo Duval last year. Like, is that – the beginning of the end for him. Bednar was is a guy who knows if he can pitch the way he did in Pittsburgh on a regular basis here in New York. I don't know. I read there might be Rice might be catching some games, more games.
Right.
They want to keep his bat in the lineup, and obviously with the, I think needing him to play first base is probably more apt with the, I mean, who knows how many games you're going to get out of Goldschmidt. But yeah, I think the fact what they didn't do in free agency is kind of magnifying that despite our pessimism and negativity towards them, that they are pretty good. They managed to win all the 94 games last year. And yeah, they just got beat by a better team with a different approach. And Stanton as well. Stanton was fantastic when he played last year.
Yeah.
It's the same story every year with a lot of these aging stars that they have. How many games can we expect? What type of production can we expect out of him? But I agree. It does feel like people are kind of underestimating them just a little bit this year.
The Rockies are -400 to have the worst record. Are they a lock for that? The Nationals, you know, they trade off Gore. That's a tough division. Do you think the Rockies will be, I don't say as bad as last year, but they got to get, you know, what, they went 42 last year. What are your thoughts just of the worst win market?
You would think they played a lot better in the second half last year.
They did.
They were never in doubt of going over. But especially in that division, too, like, I think the Padres are going to take a little bit of a step back this year. The D-backs, I'm not sure about them. I know they were so far back, but I would probably try and look elsewhere there. You want to get, like, ridiculously crazy on a team maybe to have the worst record. What about the Twins? Again, you lose an arm there. Joe Ryan is beat up now. Royce Lewis, you can't count on him. Buxton, who the hell knows? I think that lineup has a lot of holes in it. And again, you're in a division there where I think that division could be a heck of a lot better this year. I mean, the Royals should be better. The Tigers are the Tigers. White Sox, we think they're going to be better. If you're looking for a super, super flyer to throw a dart maybe on worst record, you might not be able to find a better team than Twins.
Do you know what their number is? Do you want to guess?
If you can talk me through this here and kill some time, I'll take a look.
Oh, I was going to quiz you. I have it in front of me. I was going to quiz you and see what your guess would be.
Oh, you have it in front of me. I would say they're probably 50-1?
35 at DraftKings.
Okay. All right.
Weird to see the Cardinals in the mix for this. Not that they're like a short shot or anything, but 28-1. So it's Rockies -400. And I know I saw this on Twitter the other day. Shop around because you get some wide variance in these numbers for markets like this. But Rockies -400, White Sox +650. I don't think the White Sox are going to have the worst record. They're not horrible.
I don't think so either.
Anymore. Nats are 9-1. That might be my flyer. Angels 17-1. Cardinals 28. Twins 35. Marlins 35. I think the Marlins are too good. I think the Pirates have too much pitching. Although, you know what? If you told me Skeens got hurt or something, maybe. I don't know. A's at 55-1. I think they're too good on offense.
Yeah, Marlins, who knows? As long as they get – again, what do we know about Sandy? Are we going to get pre-injury Sandy, or are we going to get the Sandy that we saw last year? Same thing with Strider. Like, are we going to get a bump? Those guys get a bump that second year back? Yuri Perez is great. Paddock is serviceable. Max Meyer looked great. Like, yeah, the Marlins have too much pitching there.
They always find arms too. Yeah. They always develop arms.
Yeah.
And if Sandy was good last year, they would have been in the playoffs. I think he cost them a playoff spot because they were pretty feisty, and he was bad. He was like almost an automatic loss every time he took the ball. Yeah. And you look at the end of the season, they weren't that far off from a playoff spot, 4 or 5 games here or there, which is what he cost them. I mean, he was just average, or if he was, you know, not pitching, they might have made the playoffs.
Yep. Good middle lineup piece now with Gustin Ramirez, who came up last year and had a really good year. You may not recognize all the names with the Marlins, but they're going to be they'll be scrappy. They'll be competitive, to use a good old verbal crutch.
Anything else? Any soccer? Anything else you want to get up with for?
Yeah, we're sitting here recording this right now, and we're at halftime of Tottenham and Arsenal, and they're 1-1 at half. I don't care what happens in this game. I bet Man City yesterday or the day before at plus 150 to win the Prem. I was a little late to the party. I should have bet it sooner. But Arsenal has not been good lately. They are leaking points. Their defense is not as good as it has been. They rely on set pieces for all of their goals. It was a big lead. So they're entering today, as we're recording, they were up 2 points on Manchester City, even on games. So depending on what happens here, they could either be up 2 points with City having a game in hand, or they could be up 3 points with City having a game in hand. Essentially, as long as City are within 2 points, the current gap, they play Arsenal later. They host the match, and as long if City were to win out, they will win the Prem. It's kind of reminiscent of, I think it was 2022, when Liverpool and City were kind of the same thing, and it was it rotated between a 1 point the 1 point City lead or a two point. Arsenal lead, or Liverpool lead, and then City winds up winning on the last day, and they wind up winning by a point. I think we're looking at a pretty similar thing here, but any plus money you can find on City to win the Prem, I think is definitely worth it.
All right, at Chris Felica on Twitter, Fox Sports, Bear Bets podcast. What when is the next podcast?
That's a good question. I know we got baseball preview coming up, I'm sure. WBC coming up. We got Masters coming up. We got NCAA tournament. You know what we need to do is on Sunday night, the night of Selection Sunday, we need to get together, you, me, Jeff, Sammy, Gil, Toddy, whomever. Alan Boston, maybe. Get a little live Twitter spaces or something going, just instant bracket reaction, just kind of quick hitters.
Fez, I'm in. Whoever. 3 weeks from now, Fez, we can't get Fez. We'll be on betting openers. I'm too busy. Fez will absolutely not be part of it.
No.
But
no,
I'm down. No. I'm in. And 3 weeks from now. So it'll be here before you know it. Because once these small conference tournaments start, it's just a mile a minute in terms of the action. Mm-hmm. Those are fun to bet. I remember, I don't know if you tailed me last year, we had Queens 50-1, and
yes,
they were like
did.
Up
yep.
10
did,
in the semifinals with like 6 or 7 minutes to go. They just couldn't finish the game. Yep. We would have had a nice arb spot in the championship game. Not that I'm still bitter a year later.
Not at all. Yeah. And I'm not bitter at all either about betting three teams before the start of the season last year, having Houston at 18-1, Auburn at 35-1, and Texas Tech at 50-1. I'm not bitter about having those before the season and then see them go down boom, boom, boom in a row to Florida. I'm not bitter or disappointed or upset about that.
State. I forgot about that. Those were some painful ones too. Texas Tech in particular. I mean, they were all painful, but Texas Tech was just like an all timer.
Jeez. That's the one, because you get that and you're guaranteed of having someone in – you're guaranteed to have Texas Tech or whomever in the championship game instead of Florida. And it's like, yeah, you're guaranteed to have Texas Tech or Houston in there. And oh, well, whatever.
Bear, appreciate it, man. Thanks.
Absolutely, bud.
All right, that will do it. Thanks to the Bear, Chris Felica. Rate, review, subscribe. We will be back Wednesday. See you then.